Good afternoon once more, my friends. This is Sunday, October 6th at a little after 12:30 p.m. Today's talk is about developing Christ consciousness. What is Christ consciousness? How do we develop it? Do we develop it, or is it there already? Both of these statements are true. Christ consciousness is the only consciousness that exists. In the beginning, God. God consciousness, Christ consciousness. Well, enter in the human mind and all of its thoughts and concepts and mental images, and you have the mind that was in Christ Jesus functioning as Christ consciousness, and a personal sense of human mind. And out of this personal sense of human mind come the variety of good and evil that we see. Out of this mind comes the wonderful scientific discovery of how to transplant an organ into a person supposedly close to death, and watching them make a full recovery and live for several years. Out of this mind come such beautiful things as the Sistine Chapel and the work done there on the ceiling, Michelangelo's work. Out of this mind come symphonies like Bach and Beethoven, although there is some suggestion that these were heard on another level. Out of this mind also comes the depravity and the man's inhumanity to man that would kill 6 million Jews in order that the master race could take over the earth. And so we see that this mind is the birthplace of good and evil. But what happens when there is no good and evil? Then what? Well, we can theorize, and we can put labels on it, and we can say it's Christ consciousness. But that won't bring us any nearer the experience. All of us in this class are dedicated to having the experience of beholding Christ consciousness and its formations. Before I started on this talk, I was busy at my desk answering letters, and I'm going to share part of one with you. I'm sure she wouldn't mind. And so just give me a minute here while I go and find it. It says, "Your current living situation reminds one of Henry David Thoreau and his life of simplicity and solitude in the woods. I have lived such a life alone at certain times, and I have never missed the noisomeness of worldly people and their many concerns. I am glad you are studying the principles every Infinite Way student must know. In those principles are contained the nature of error and the nature of true prayer. It is, of course, not enough to simply state that error is a nothingness. One must practice the principles until the inner experience of God's presence melts some appearance of error. And then, having that experience again and again in meditation, builds in one a consciousness which can look at error and see through it. Only after repeated experiences of watching error dissolve can we claim that Christ consciousness as a conscious awareness has come. And so you see, this fits in well with the topic today, which is developing Christ consciousness. It is true. Christ consciousness is all. It is true. God is omnipresent, and there is no other presence. But if you are sitting or standing in a human presence, and you see the presence of your cat or your dog lying near you, and you see the presence of your loved ones nearby, and you're thinking with that personal sense of mind, then to you, God is not omnipresent. And so a change, an inner change, a change within must happen to you so that you cease from the mind of man, of mankind. There must come a transformation out of that sense of mind into an experience of beholding Christ consciousness at work. And this, of course, comes about through your meditations and contemplations. As I pointed out in the letter, in the beginning we do not have the conscious awareness of Christ consciousness. We are only aware of our individual tiny little selves thinking. But those of us in this class who have practiced meditation, some for many, many years, should be at the point in consciousness where we're ready to make the transition from a human mind to the mind which was in Christ Jesus, or to Christ consciousness, and watch it function. And this we do at first in tiny inner experiences. They may last only for a second or less than a second. We call it feeling that present, feeling the movement of spirit. We call it a tingling sensation, a fizzing. We call it hearing that inner voice. We call it the whispering of God in our inner temple. Whatever words you give it are not important. What is important is that you experience this transcendental presence and power. If once you go within, leave the problem outside your temple and drop it, come within and rest back in this inner presence and feel its movement, and then opening your eyes, watch in the minutes or days to follow, watch that problem dissolve without any human effort by mind or body, then you become convinced that this inner voice does melt appearances. And so you come again and again to your inner temple. And sometimes when something more serious shows up, perhaps you're emotionally attached and you cannot seem to feel this inner presence because the problem is so severe, then you have the right to turn to another or several others. I've seen people post in the Mystical Principles list stating that they need help and having the entire group meditate in this way and touch this presence. And it only takes one touching this presence deeply enough that the problem dissolves and the individual is able to get back to meditation without asking for help. This all leads one to the place where we can experience that inner Christ consciousness and its movement, its upliftment. Christ lifts you above the human mind into this other realm, all in the same chair. You might sit in your chair of meditation, start out by contemplating some truth or some passage of scripture, and feel a sudden inner movement which lifts you above even contemplation and holds you in a stillness in which you feel the rhythm of spirit. Returning to this inner temple again and again and watching the problems disappear again and again, eventually something happens. There's an inner transformation, and this Christ consciousness becomes a working part of your existence. Or, put another way, you become a working part of Christ consciousness. It's an actual shift in awareness. And when that happens, then you're able to do what Joel said. A problem is brought to you that you've seen dissolved before, and you simply smile. You know the nothingness of it without having to go through all these mental gyrations to try to remember truth. You just know. You're resting in Christ consciousness, and it dissolves as it touches you. And that's when you have the experience of somebody writing and saying, "Before I even mailed this letter, before I even sent off the email, I felt a release." It is because the consciousness that you are living in now, the conscious awareness of Christ consciousness expressing you, that consciousness is what is omnipresent. And so, yes, anyone, anywhere reaching out touches the Christ consciousness that is already present. It's all comes down to oneness. Now, in the very first book I ever received, it was a gift from a man that was trying to help me. He gave me this book called The Art of Meditation by Joel Goldsmith, published by Harper and Row. And it's a hardback book. I don't even know if they make those anymore. Anyway, in a chapter called The Fruit of the Spirit, this is perhaps for all of us at this point. It says, in this work, we are at that place in consciousness where the Christ must be experienced. For years we have talked and heard about the beauty of the Christ, the power of the Christ, and the healing influence of the Christ, that Spirit of the Lord within us. Many of us also have been blessed through some other person's attainment of the Spirit of God. That happens to many of us. We come to a point in our lives where there's a problem confronting us and we can't seem to overcome it or get through it or past it or around it. And we cry out, "God, oh God, help me." And through some means or another, we find ourselves with one of the Infinite Way books in our hands, or perhaps at a tape meeting where we hear a talk. In one way or another, we are led to the principles of the Infinite Way. And there's a surrender. We just sort of surrender into what we do not know. But because the surrender is sincere, and that human mind yields, the Christ is experienced, and we have a healing, and we say, "Wow, this is great." And if we're metaphysically inclined, we start thinking about how we can practice these principles to double our income, or bring the perfect companion, or heal this physical problem. And for a while, it's really like Disney World. We practice the principles and all sorts of miracles happen. It's great. But then they stop happening. Yes, we have an intellectual understanding of the principles, and we don't see why they're not happening. We're spending time in meditation. What am I missing? It sends us deeper and deeper into the study, and we find out, like he says here, we have been blessed through some other person's attainment of the Spirit of God. We've been relying, perhaps, on the infinite way. And that's okay for a beginner, but for us, no. No. We cannot rely on anything other than Christ consciousness within. So we go back to the works, and if we're lucky, if we're fortunate, and sometimes it feels unlucky, we're led to that place where we realize we have to go beyond the letter to the actual experience of the Spirit. And maybe we come upon the talk of Joel's, which says, when we are confronted with a problem, we have to say, no answer to this, and close our eyes and clamp the mouth shut and take no thought and wait upon the Lord. And now we have a problem because the principles that we thought we knew so well are not working, and we have to go beyond the letter to the Spirit, and the Spirit doesn't seem to be responding. Well, to these people he writes, now the time has come when we should no longer depend upon talk or upon the illumination of some other person. Not even Joel. Not even Herb. We must have the experience for ourselves, and that's the experience of Christ consciousness functioning, so that we can be in this world but not of it, walk up and down this world and yet not be a part of it, walk in and out of the discords and in harmonies, as well as the pleasures and harmonies of this world, and through it all maintain our spiritual integrity. You see how eloquently he states and suggests that we are not trying to change evil into good? See, this is not a human way of life. This is not changing lack into abundance, or changing illness into health, or changing aloneness into companionship. This is not about changing evil into good. That's what the humans do. Look around sometime at people's goals and aspirations on this planet and see if that isn't true. It's a constant effort to change evil into good. But the spiritual path is something else. And so we, he says, will be able to walk in and out of the pleasures and harmonies and the discords and inharmonies, and through it all maintain a spiritual integrity, or something other than good and evil, something called Christ consciousness. We lose all sense of having to do something, or even having to know something, or having to understand something. There is a relaxing of personal responsibility, and we rest in stillness and in quietness, in the realization that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let us be beholders, watching God at work in his universe, recognizing a transcendental being as it performs its work through our consciousness and that's beholding Christ's consciousness. So, he is in agreement that we have to make this inner transition where we do not live out from a human mind. And we do live in a state of, well, almost a vacuum, where we stand so still we can behold Christ consciousness functioning. Now, in the beginning, it comes as one experience, and maybe we have 15 more meditations before it happens again. But it does happen again. And then maybe we have a few more, and it happens again. Then we go for, we're confronted with some problem, we can't seem to overcome it, we go for a rather long period, and then it happens. It just happens. Seems like we're not even seeking it one day. We sit down just to get quiet, and it happens. We come to see that it has its own life. And if we will stop struggling with the separate sense of life, that life will be ours. And so he says, this spiritual presence and power, this Christ, which takes over the functions of life for us, is invisible, but nonetheless real for all its invisibility. And that's the experience of beholding the Christ. And this is how you know that it's beginning to happen to you. And if this isn't happening to you, this is how you know you're still in the letter, in the human mind. Says Joel, if there is a sense of rightness about life, if the right words are spoken at the right time, if the right acts are performed at the right time, if harmony prevails in our experience, then we feel, we see, we recognize that every phase of that experience is a direct result of the activity of the Christ. Now, the activity of the Christ is that movement felt within. We do not do it. We do not take thought. It, the Christ, does it all, even before we have any awareness of what is transpiring. It, the Christ, is the activity of body, of purse, and of our relationships with one another. The presence goes before us to make the crooked places straight and to prepare a place for us. The presence does everything for us, and we live on this plane of existence, as witnesses, as beholders. Okay, so here, a couple of pages later, he says, in spiritual living, we do not depend upon our correct human evaluation of situations. See, we don't turn to our human mind anymore. That was Lot's way of life back there in the old city. Regardless of how good our judgment may seem to be, we turn away from it to the Father. So this has to become a way of living. Not just a way of, yes, I understand those spiritual principles, or they're beautiful to read the Art of Meditation, and it's wonderful to hear a talk. No, when we're out there in the middle of traffic, and our human mind says, I think I'll go down this street or that street. In the midst of the world, we have to turn away from the world and the world mind to that Christ consciousness. This is how we develop the ability to rest back and rely upon it. This is how it becomes a working part of our experience, or we become a working part of it. And so we turn from the human mind to the Father. Father, show me when to move. Show me whether or not to take the next step and when to take it. Now, I had this experience, and I bring this up because I had this exact experience. I was looking for employment in California one time. I was living in and around Los Angeles, and I was in the San Gabriel Valley, and I was looking for work. I, of course, picked up a paper and to look and see if there was anything there that I was qualified for, but there wasn't. And I had this inner nagging feeling that I was supposed to take a new step in a new direction. And I didn't know how to do that. But in my meditation, there wasn't any words as such, but I would come out of meditation and feel that it's time to make a change. And at the time, I had worked in the aircraft industry, various parts of it, from building parts to testing parts, all different things, from wire harnesses in the F-15 in-flight fuel systems to hydraulics, just all sorts of things with the aircraft industry. In those days, it was McDonnell Douglas and Lockheed and Delco Hi-Rail and stuff like that. Anyway, that's all I had done. But I had this inner feeling it was time to do something else, and I felt this inner push to go down and apply for a job as a counselor in the substance abuse field. And I knew that there was a detox in this particular city, San Gabriel, but I had never been there. I didn't know where it was. I did, however, get the address. And so I had an address, and I knew the direction. I knew it was southwest somewhere. Well, I called. That's how I got the address. And I had set up an appointment for the next morning. And the morning came, and I overslept. And I got up, and you know how it is when you oversleep. You're in a sort of state of panic. You're not really awake yet, and you're wiping the sleep out of your eyes and downing a cup of coffee and thinking in 13 directions at once. Well, the human mind was whirling. And I stopped, and I said, "Father, if you want me to have this, just show me what to do and give me the power to do it." Something simple like that. And I got in the car, and I just started in the direction because I knew the appointment was in 30 minutes. And I lived approximately 40 minutes away. But I got in the car, and I just headed down, taking the city streets. Not highways or freeways. I took city streets, and I zigzagged in the general direction where I knew that town was and that particular avenue was, or boulevard was. Well, I zigzagged down there, and about 33 minutes later, I came out onto the street that was the street on which this building was. And when I looked across the street, I was staring right at the place. I pulled into the parking lot, and I was only 3 minutes late, which is acceptable. And I walked up, and I introduced myself, and they took me back and interviewed me and hired me on the spot. Now, you know that kind of thing doesn't happen. Oh, and when the guy asked me what I had to offer, he was the director. He asked me what I had to offer. I told him my experience with God. And like I said, he hired me on the spot. And, well, it was wonderful working there. I worked there as a counselor for a couple of years and ended up supervising the other counselors. But the point that I'm making is that this principle worked. I turned away from the human mind, which had no idea how to find this place. All it had was numbers and a street name. And it was three cities away. And I simply turned within to that Christ consciousness, and it brought me to the very front door. Now, you know that's not possible, but that was my experience. And so I came to see that by living from the consciousness of a beholder and waiting on the Lord, I discovered the miracle of life, in which not only was there a God, but that it had become the governing factor in that experience. So that's what he says here. He says, with patience and with practice, we develop the consciousness of a beholder, of waiting upon the Lord, which leads us to the miracle of life, in which we discover that there is a God, and that it has become the governing factor in our lives. It has taken over our experience. And that was what I discovered, and have discovered countless numbers of times. We have prevented the activity and operation of God in our affairs by not waiting, by not being a beholder, by not sitting, as it were, a little to one side of ourselves until we feel that the Father is taking over. If only we would do that, we would find the miracle of a divine presence going before us to make all things new. What does that mean? That means new formations, does it not? It means Christ consciousness forming itself. That's what makes all things new, and they're new because they're made out of this new consciousness instead of out of the old human mind. When we make a decision, very often we find insurmountable obstacles in the way. But when God makes the decision, God goes before us and removes every obstacle. Everything necessary to facilitate the undertaking is provided. So let us make a daily practice of being a beholder. Now that means this must become your life. That of transitioning out of the human mind as the director into listening, waiting upon this Christ consciousness, stepping out of the letter, witnessing spirit, Christ consciousness forming itself as new forms. And that's what it did in the experience I shared with you. It took me right out of the aircraft industry and placed me into the counseling profession. And eventually I got a degree and everything else that goes with it. So, finally, he says, let us be willing to wait until the very second before a decision must be made. Even if it is a minute later than necessary, we wait and wait. Let us be patient, very patient. It will come. And once we have had this experience, which is the experience of Christ consciousness, we shall have witnessed the miracle of watching God operating in our affairs. When this awareness, the awareness of Christ consciousness, has become an actual experience, not a theory or a nice thought or a spiritual book, when it has become an actual experience, we shall never again know what it is to be without a consciousness of God's government, because we shall have discovered that God does respond. God does take over. I remember sharing one time, I was in a group of people at a church, and I assumed that they knew these spiritual principles. I was quite young and new to the work, and I was babbling about spiritual things, and I opened my mouth and shared something that had happened to me. And the man sitting across the table slammed his fist on the table and said, God's never gotten me a job, because I was sharing how going within and being still, God appeared as a new job, and he didn't like that. And so I found out that even in so-called spiritual gatherings, I won't tell you the type of church, but anyway, even in spiritual gatherings, you can find human thought that is masquerading as spirituality. And so I learned to keep my finger on my lips unless I was asked. And if I was asked by someone that really wanted to know. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent here. The point is that we do become aware that God does respond and God does take over. He says in the 23rd Psalm, we read that we are to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. Now, house means consciousness. And so, yes, we are to dwell in Christ consciousness, God consciousness, all the days of our life, witnessing, beholding it living itself. And these experiences must keep happening to us. That's how we know we are developing Christ consciousness. Or, if you prefer, that's how we know we are coming into the conscious awareness of the Christ consciousness that is. Now, most of us have spent many years working with these principles to come to the place where we are ready to make this inner shift, this inner transition, where we are ready to transition out of humanhood into Christhood. And indeed, Joel finishes by saying, the fruit of the Spirit does not come to those who have not yet learned to value the Christ, its presence, power, and jurisdiction. He might have said, to those who have not yet learned to surrender to Christ. Years of consecration and devotion, which all of us have practiced, in which one has in some measure left all for Christ, must precede the harvesting of this fruit. Now, we understand left all for Christ means left all human methods and means, left all humanhood, left all human thinking, left all of the human mind. But when that time comes, when we make the transition, we shall never again be alone. We shall never again fear. We may go through the valley of the shadow of death, but even there, the presence is with us. We rest in the center of our being while the storms pass overhead. We are beholders of God, of Christ consciousness, guiding, maintaining, and sustaining itself. God fulfilling itself as individual being. Then we see Him as He is, and God appears as the wholeness, the abundance, the harmony, the peace, and the joy of our experience. Now, do you see how this must be a complete way of life and not just a spiritual thought we have on a Sunday? Because if we just have a spiritual thought on a Sunday, we are the ones that are going to slam our fist on the table and say, God doesn't do that. What are you talking about? Yes, when I was new at this, I shared with a lot of people that I should have kept my mouth shut. I should have been very quiet. And one of them was my own mother before she passed. I remember her saying to me one time, you're not even human. And I said, why, thank you. Which confused her even more. I was young. I was only 20-something. Now, of course, I would never do that. That seems to me to be very wrong, to cast your pearls before swine, even if the swine is one member of your family. No, it's better to keep the finger on the lips and agree with your adversary, but pray without ceasing within. And I learned to do that later. I learned to, as Joel says, speak double talk, where I could say things and nod out here to as a person's talking, but at the same time be realizing the truth and resting back in the presence within. And I really found that was a lot easier. In the old days, they would throw you to the lions for speaking heresy, or they would crucify you. Now, I was told by the man that introduced me and gave me the art of meditation, now what they do is they put you on medication and give you electric shock treatments, all to make you normal. You know, you can't go around saying God's whispering in your ear. Just try it and you'll see the reactions you get. And so I learned to be very quiet. And interestingly enough, I have been in the temple. I have been in a church, a Baptist church. I have been in a Native American gatherings. And I have been in all kinds of different gatherings, meditations. And what I have found is by keeping my finger on my lips and just standing still and staying in that place of a beholder, of a witness, I have felt the presence in all of these places. And so you see, it's not the place, is it? It's not the place at all. In the middle of a ghetto, I have felt the presence. In the middle of a luxury suite in a hotel in San Diego, I have felt the presence. While walking the beach in Hawaii, I have felt the presence. But I have also felt the presence in a dirty, rundown cantina in Tijuana. So, it's not the place. It's the consciousness. Do you live out from the human mind? Are you still living by the letter? I feel I want to hear Joel tell us once again how wonderful it feels when you stop living by the letter. It's only, let's see, one, if I can get this page to turn, it's only two pages, two and a half. He calls it the New Jerusalem, and it's in the infinite way. This is how he experienced when he finally made the transition out of that human mind into being a beholder of Christ consciousness. When he finally made that inner shift, when he was lifted above the human mind. Remember, he says in Beyond Words and Thoughts that the veil is always the same. The belief in good and evil, the human mind, and when we come up over the mind, we're then in conscious awareness of Christ consciousness. So this is how he feels it and experienced it. And it moved him to be poetic. And he calls it the New Jerusalem, which is the new consciousness, Christ consciousness. The former things have passed away, and all things are become new. Oh, how beautiful that is. Whereas I was blind, now I see, and not through a glass darkly, but face to face. Yes, even in my flesh I have seen God. This takes place right where you are, standing right here. I just said that. It can happen anywhere. It's an inner shift in consciousness. It has nothing to do with your surroundings, nor even your body. It has to do with your consciousness coming up over the letter, the mind. Yes, even in my flesh I have seen God. The hills have rolled away, and there is no more horizon, but the light of heaven makes all things plain. long have I sought thee, O Jerusalem. He might have said, long have I sought thee, O Christ consciousness. But only now have my pilgrim feet touched the soil of heaven. The waste places are no more. Fertile lands are before me, the like of which I had never dreamed. Oh, truly, there shall be no night there. Yes, there can only be night in the letter. In the spirit there is only light. The glory of it shines as the noonday sun, and there is no need of light, for God is the light thereof. I sit down to rest. In the shade of the trees I rest, and find my peace in thee. Within thy grace is peace, O Lord. In the world I was weary. In thee I have found rest. And in thee, Lord, is this inner Christ consciousness. And this inner Christ consciousness, my friend, is your consciousness. When the human mind is transcended, when you transition out of it, even if only for a moment, and taste and feel and touch and commune with your inner Christ consciousness, then you will feel as he does. And he says, in the dense forest of words I was lost. In the letter of truth was tiredness and fear. But in thy spirit only is shade and water and rest. How far have I wandered from thy spirit, O tender one and true? How far, how far? How deeply lost in the maze of words, words, words. But now am I returned, and in thy spirit shall I ever find my life, my peace, my strength. Thy spirit is the bread of life, finding which I shall never hunger. Thy spirit is a wellspring of water, and drinking it I shall never thirst. What is it that the woman of Samaria who came to the well, and well, of course, is her consciousness, and sitting on the edge, she beheld the Christ, but she did not know what she was beholding. She had the Christ. Oh, we know that the Christ is due to come. Yes, the Messiah will come one of these days. See, she had the letter of what the Christ is. And yet within, on the well, on her consciousness, the living Christ says to her, if you knew who I was and you asked me, I would have given you living waters that spring up into life everlasting. If you knew the gift of God, and that is the gift of God, given to you, to each of us individually, on the very edge of the well of your consciousness, if you will put down the letter, stop thinking you know what Christ is, and come within and surrender all that, and let the Christ reveal itself, then the Christ will reveal to you the living waters which spring up into everlasting life, your everlasting life. So says Joel, who has found this Christ. As a weary wanderer, I have sought thee, and now my weariness is gone. Thy spirit has formed a tent for me, and in its cool shade I linger, and peace fills my soul. Thy presence has filled me with peace. Thy love has placed before me a feast of spirit. Yea, thy spirit is my resting place, an oasis in the desert of the letter of truth. You see, the woman from Samaria experienced the Christ as a living presence on the edge of her consciousness. Joel experiences Christ as a resting place, an oasis on the desert of the letter of truth. And he says, in thee will I hide from the noise of the world of argument. in thy consciousness, in Christ's consciousness, I will find surcease from the noisomeness of men's tongues. They divide thy garment, O Lord of peace. They quarrel over thy word, yea, until it becomes words and no longer the word. As a beggar have I sought the new heaven and the new earth, and thou hast made me heir of all. You are heir. You, hearing this word right now, are heir to Christ consciousness given to you at the foundations of all that is. How shall I stand before thee but in silence? How shall I honor thee but in the meditation of mine heart? Praise and thanksgiving thou seekest not, but the understanding heart thou receivest. And says John, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And Joel says, I will keep silent before thee. My soul and my spirit and my silence shall be thy dwelling place. I think that's one of the most beautiful things ever uttered by Joel. Truly, he was on fire with the Spirit. My silence shall be thy dwelling place. You want to know where the secret place of the Most High is? It's in your silence. In your true silence from thought, from the letter, in your inner silence is the dwelling place of Christ. Thy Spirit shall fill my meditation, and it shall make me and preserve me whole. O, thou tender one and true, I am home in thee. And that is Joel's telling us, in words that flowed out from him, what the experience of Christ consciousness is to him. And you, of course, will have your own words, and I, mine. But they all come from the same place, and that is the secret place of the Most High. This secret place is gently pushing at the edge of the well of your consciousness. This secret place, this presence in that secret place is saying, I stand here at the door and knock. Let us offer our silence. As Joel said, God doesn't need, Christ consciousness doesn't need our praise and our thanksgiving and our songs. No. Christ consciousness is looking, always looking for an opening through which to express. And so Christ consciousness seeks your silence through which it can flow. Do you love God? Or are you just saying you love God because that's the correct letter? If you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, then give an offer unto God your inner silence. Be a witness. Be a beholder. Watch. Wait. Listen. Be receptive. And you shall know. Christ consciousness makes all things new. I'm going to take a moment here and see if anything else comes. Only this. You have been given at the foundations of the world, before the foundations of the world. Because, says Jesus Christ, "Now, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with thee before the world was." And so before the world was, you were given that glory called Christ consciousness. And this is the only thing that glorifies God. Nothing that you do humanly, nothing from the letter, but only Christ consciousness flowing through the silence of your being. This is the glory of God. And the glory of God was given to you before the world was. It's yours now. But it does absolutely nothing for you unless you have the conscious awareness of it. And you cannot have the conscious awareness of Christ consciousness living itself until you stop trying to live it, your own life in a human way. Through self-surrender, self-effacement, through, well, denial of self, that leaves only silence. Just the same silence I experienced when I paused and said, "I don't know how to get there, Father. You show me." And I was silent. The same silence that when I was stranded in downtown Houston on the 4th of July weekend and nothing was open, and my car broke down on the side of the highway with 18-wheelers rolling by and rain coming down, and I only had $80 in my pocket, and I still had to get to California. That was the same silence that caused me to pause, take a deep breath, and wait until I felt that inner movement. And once I felt that inner movement, I turned the key, and on the third try, it started up and took me all the way to California. And I hadn't been able to get it started for quite some time. And indeed, when I got to California and I pulled it into the garage and said, "What's wrong?" They said the master brain was gone. It was fried. And there's no way it could be working. So you see, the Red Sea really does part. And we have these experiences. And we learn to keep silent about them unless we are sharing with someone of our spiritual household. And I hope, no, strike that. I know today I have shared with you, the members of my spiritual household, my family, that we have become the sons of God. And that Christ consciousness will live itself through our silence. Let us make that commitment to continue the work within until this transition has taken place. Until we have become beholders of Christ consciousness forming itself, until our experience becomes the living statement of the Christ, "Behold, I make all things new." And there in the New Jerusalem, do not be surprised if you commune with the consciousness of Joel, which is the consciousness that I am, which is the consciousness of you. Thank you ever so much for joining me in this journey, and I bid you Godspeed. Amen.